Book Notes, Spring 2008, Volume 4, Issue 1. Book Notes, ISSN 1554-3609, is published twice per year by the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, 20 Park Street, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301-6314. Copyright 2008. All rights reserved. Reproduction in whole or in part without permission is prohibited. http://www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter. This newsletter contains 8 pages. Inside this issue, New Hampshire Books column, Laconia Celebrates, the Franco-American Center, Letters About Literature 2008, Ladybug Picture Book Award, Impact Dublin Award, Books About the FA Experience, River of Words, La Librairie Populaire, Franco-American Writers, France in America at LOC. New Hampshire Celebrates Quebec's 400th Anniversary by Van McLeod, Commissioner, New Hampshire Department of Cultural Resources. This year, the province of Quebec is engaged in a year-long international celebration of the founding of its capital, Quebec City, by the French explorer Samuel de Champlain in 1608. Events celebrating French culture, both traditional and modern, will be taking place across North America, with the Pièce de Résistance being a major festival in Quebec City throughout the summer, including special events on July 3rd and 4th. But Quebec 400 is not just for our northernmost neighbors. An important aspect of this celebration is recognizing the ongoing influence of French culture in North America. New Hampshire, of course, has long had a vibrant Franco-American community. In fact, today a major part of our state's population has French ancestors, primarily from Quebec. As Commissioner of New Hampshire's Department of Cultural Resources, I have been working with representatives from Quebec, the United Nations, and the French Consulate to create programming across our state, which ties in with Quebec 400. Starting in 2006, a steering committee of representatives from New Hampshire's cultural organizations began meeting to explore different ways to involve individuals and organizations in the celebration. The steering committee held 6 outreach meetings throughout the state, from Berlin to Manchester, Laconia to Portsmouth, in the fall of 2006 to inform local cultural leaders and the public about Quebec 400 and to gauge enthusiasm for the celebration. We met dozens of individuals proud to be part of the Franco-American community, all of whom were excited to create a broad range of programming, everything from creating displays of their ancestors' photographs to performing plays by French authors like Molière. It was truly inspiring to see people take an idea and make it their own. As this article goes to press, we have already created an online listing of events, http://www.nh.gov/nhculture/quebec/index.htm. Anyone who is hosting an event that includes French influence may choose to submit it to this calendar. I am also pleased to be producing a performance in Quebec during the July celebration. Representatives from all the New England states will be sharing a stage performing traditional music. It is wonderful that New England will be so well represented to such an important international audience. I hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity to participate in the many French-influenced activities taking place in New Hampshire, New England, and Quebec this year. A bientôt! New Hampshire Books by Donna Gilbreth. I will admit up front that my personal reading tastes tend toward escapist fiction. I profess my affection for John Grisham novels and similar stories I read while tucked under the covers at night. Therefore, this debut collection of short stories by Rebecca Curtis would not have been my first choice of personal reading material. But 20 Grand and Other Tales of Love and Money was intriguing, especially due to its strong New Hampshire connection. The author grew up in Guilford, New Hampshire, and like many other young people, left the state soon after graduating high school. Curtis is now an instructor in the graduate writing program at Columbia University, and has been published in The New Yorker, Harper's, and other literary journals. She is also a recipient of the Rona Jaffe Foundation Writers Award. The majority of the stories in her first published collection are set in New Hampshire's tourist regions, around the lakes and mountains. But the reader is exposed to the backside of the glossy tourist brochures, the realities not revealed to our brief visitors. Although the author was eager to leave the state, she admits, quote, "When I wrote the stories in this book, each began with the desire to describe a place in New Hampshire that I knew, even if it was an ugly place," end quote. In the story Summer with Twins, the struggling college student narrator works one summer at a lakeside restaurant where the fat, sleazy owner, Boris, hits on her, and older waitress, Dina, struggles to provide for her family. The narrator lives and works with Golden Girl twin sisters who coast along oblivious to the financial and social difficulties of others. Another story exposing the other side of New Hampshire's tourist destinations is The Alpine Slide. The narrator is a 15-year-old local girl working one summer at a rundown mountain slide reopened by charismatic Canadian Jacques Michaud. But business is bad, a sliding accident occurs, and Jacques turns out to be a Chicago swindler, having an affair with glamorous high school cheerleader Amy Goldman before eventually skipping town. The title story is an equally depressing one about a wife and her two children living in the isolation of the New Hampshire mountains while her husband works down at the Pease military base on the seacoast. Constantly without enough money, she travels down to his work one day in a snowstorm to ask for money and ends up losing a valuable family heirloom. The author appends a personalized tour guide to her favorite attractions in central New Hampshire. I think this is somewhat an apology for her fairly bleak portrayals of the state in her stories. In her brief guide, she celebrates the pleasures of strolling Weirs Boulevard, digging for gems at Ruggles Mine, or tasting the products from Granite State Candy Shop in Concord, or Van Otis Chocolates in Manchester. Laconia Celebrates French-Canadian History by Jennifer Carroll Plant, Executive Director, LHMS. In honor of the 400th anniversary of Quebec, the Laconia Historical and Museum Society is working with the Laconia Public Library and other local organizations to celebrate French-Canadian history in Laconia and compare those experiences a century ago with today's immigrant and refugee experience. Combining a contemporary perspective with a historical anniversary will help to provide the French-Canadian population of Laconia an opportunity to connect with their own history and celebrate their ancestors' contribution to this region, introduce new immigrants and refugees to the struggles of those who came before them, introduce new immigrants and refugees to the community that they are an integral part of today, introduce the general public to this new population of residents, and promote an understanding of cultural diversity in the Lakes region. Laconia Historical and Museum Society, LHMS, will coordinate two exhibitions and a series of five educational programs during the 2008 season. The exhibition Je t'aime Laconia will not only draw from both the historical societies and libraries' collections, but will utilize the stories and resources of area citizens. Oral history interviews with local residents of French-Canadian descent will be used to create exhibition labels and audio clips online. The stories collected will then be added to the permanent archives of the Society to be preserved for future generations. The Laconia Public Library will act as the venue for the exhibition and associated educational programming between May 21st and November 1st, 2008. The library will also host a French film series, free to the public, this summer in conjunction with the exhibit. Waconia Historical will also conduct oral history interviews with recent refugees and other newly arrived immigrants to create a second exhibition, Embracing Waconia. The Waconia Human Relations Committee, an arm of the City Council, and Lutheran Social Services of New England have offered help in conducting the interviews with recent arrivals from Bosnia, Turkey, Iraq, Burundi, and Bhutan. Lakes Region Community College will host Embracing Waconia from September 12th to December 28th, 2008. A portion of the exhibit will also be displayed downtown on September 6, 2008, during the committee's 7th Annual Multicultural Market Day, which draws approximately 5,000 visitors annually in celebrating diversity and world cultures. LHMS will help kick off the event by hosting a concert with French-Canadian singer-songwriter Josie Vachon on Friday, September 5th. Planned 2008 programs and special events include a pork pie, tortiere, cook-off, April 5th, the New Hampshire Humanities Council lecture and music program, Sprightly Steps, by Adam Boyce on May 19th, a roundtable discussion with local residents of French-Canadian descent on June 16th, a genealogy workshop with the American-Canadian Genealogical Society of Manchester in July, and the fall concert with Josie Vachon. The Franco-American Center, Your French Connection in Manchester, by Adele Buford Baker, Quebec 400 Manchester, Franco-American Center. When the Franco-American Center was founded in 1990, its goal was to reach a wide audience with an active schedule of art and historical exhibits, lectures, films, French language instruction, musical presentations, and other offerings. Since that time, the center has been a destination for the ongoing preservation and development of French heritage culture in the region. It has served as a community center for Francophones and Francophiles alike of the Greater Manchester area, New Hampshire, as well as New England. Many thousands of immigrants of French heritage from Quebec found new lives in Manchester, particularly during the era of industrialization, from the mid-19th century into the early 20th century. This year marks the anniversary of the founding of Quebec City by Samuel de Champlain in 1608. The Quebec 400 celebration will serve as a catalyst for a wide variety of events and programs that will mark 400 years of French influence in North America. Many local organizations and businesses plan to join in the celebration with exhibits, lectures, and musical programs. The Franco-American community has a stake in these historic commemorations for Quebec's 400th and plans to take this opportunity to promote its roots, its history, and its culture. Come celebrate with us. Félicitations, Québec. Learn more at www.facnh.com. Letters About Literature 2008. This past fall, the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library invited readers in grades 4 through 12 to enter Letters About Literature 2008, a national reading writing contest sponsored by the Center for the Book and the Library of Congress in partnership with Target Stores. To enter, young readers wrote a personal letter to an author explaining how his or her work changed their view of the world or themselves. Readers selected authors from any genre: fiction or nonfiction, contemporary or classic. There were three competition levels in the program: upper elementary, middle school, and secondary. The contest theme encouraged young readers to explore their personal response to a book and then express that response in a creative, original way. The 2008 competition received 220 letters from New Hampshire students. 25 semifinalists were selected by a panel of judges working on behalf of the Library of Congress. These letters were reviewed by a panel of judges here in New Hampshire who selected the Granite State's winning letters. A letter to Beverly Cleary from Angela Wang of Nashua was chosen as the 2008 Level 1 New Hampshire winner. A letter to Carolyn Mackler from Sydney Spencer, a student at Oyster River Middle School, was the Level 2 2008 New Hampshire winner. A letter to Jody Pico from Livy Lane of Dover was the Level 3 New Hampshire winner for 2008. Each of the winning letters and a list of all of the 2008 Letters About Literature New Hampshire semifinalists may be viewed at http://www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter/programs/letters.html. Information on Letters About Literature 2009 will be available on the site in September. Ladybug Picture Book Award. New Hampshire children, from preschoolers to those in third grade, selected The Secret Science Project That Almost Ate the School, by Judy Sierra and illustrated by Stephen Gammel, published by Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers, as the winner of the 2007 Ladybug Picture Book Award. With 20,037 children casting ballots for their favorite picture book from among 10 titles, The Secret Science Project That Almost Ate the School won with 3,021 votes. Ballots and tally sheets for 2008 will be available at www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter/programs/ladybug.html before school starts in the fall. Voting will be held in November 2008 to coincide with elections. 2008 Ladybug Nominees. When Dinosaurs Came With Everything, by Elise Broach, illustrated by David Small. Would I Ever Lie to You, by Carolyn Buhner, pictures by Jack E. Davis. The Magic Rabbit, by Annette LeBlanc Cate. Bibi Goes Shopping, by Susan Middleton Elia, illustrated by Stephen Salerno. The Perfect Nest, by Catherine Friend, illustrated by John Manders. Wilbur, by Leslie Helikoski, pictures by Lee Harper. Help, A Story of Friendship, by Holly Keller. The Wizard, by Jack Proletsky, illustrations by Brandon Dorman. Duck at the Door, by Jackie Urbanovich. A Dog Needs a Bone, by Audrey Wood. Impact Dublin Literary Award, by Charles Shipman, Chair, New Hampshire Dublin Committee. The New Hampshire State Library is one of 169 libraries from around the world that participate in nominating books for the International Impact Dublin Literary Award. The Impact Dublin Award is the world's richest literary prize for a single work of fiction published in English. We recently submitted our nominees for the 2009 award, which is actually awarded for books published in 2007. Our choices were The Beautiful Things That Heaven Bears, by Dina Mengestu. The Septembers of Shiraz, by Dahlia Sofer. The Archivist's Story, by Travis Holland. It will be a few months yet before the 2009 long list of nominees is announced, but the winner of the 2008 Dublin Award will be announced June 12th. It's no easy feat to win the Dublin. There were 146 titles nominated for this year's prize. That list was pared down to only 10 shortlist titles by a committee of international writers and academics. Last year's winner was Out Stealing Horses, by Norwegian author and former librarian Per Pedersen, and translated by Anne Bourne. Who will take the prize this year? Go to http://www.impacdublinaward.ie and find out. While you're there, be sure to browse through the lists of nominated titles both past and present. You're sure to find a number of terrific novels that you might otherwise never come across. I'm interested in the Franco-American experience in New Hampshire. What should I read? Maybeth Anderson, librarian, Dover High School and Regional Career Technical Center, suggested two titles from her library's collection. Of Kings and Fools, Stories of the French Tradition in North America, collected, translated, and retold by Michael Parent and Julian Olivier. Little Rock, Arkansas, August House Publishers, 1996. The Franco-Americans of New England, A History, by Armand Chatier, translated by Robert J. Lemieux and Claire Quintal. Revised and edited by Claire Quintal. Manchester, New Hampshire, ACA Assurance. Worcester, Massachusetts, Institut Français of Assumption College, 1999. Cynthia Riley, librarian at Summersworth High School, said, quote, I immediately think of Grace Metalius when I think of the New Hampshire Franco-American experience, along with stories of mill workers in Manchester and other mill cities and towns, end quote. She also suggested Amoskeag, Life and Work in an American Factory City, and Mills and Factories of New England, quote, which is a beautiful collection of photos with ghostly reminders of the countless workers who toiled there without any time to write stories and books, end quote. Melissa Stearns at the Franklin Pierce University Library suggested Charlotte Bakeman Has Her Say by Mary E. Finger, illustrated by Kimberly Rose Batty, Children's. The First Franco-Americans, New England Life Histories from the Federal Writers Project, 1938 to 1939, by C. Stewart Doty. Marie Blythe, A Novel, by Howard Frank Mosher, mostly in Vermont, but partly in New Hampshire. The French-Canadian Heritage in New England, by Gerard J. Brough. Les Franco-Américains de la Nouvelle-Angleterre, 1776 to 1930, by Yves Roby, in French. There is an English translation of this title, by Mary Rickard, available from Septentrion Publishing. Franco-Americans, We Remember, a video recording of an NHP-TV program, 1999, hosted by Tom Bergeron. Manchester's Mill History, a sound recording with New Hampshire Public Radio reporter Kevin Gardner. Mary Cronin, Madison Library, suggested Anita Shreve's Fortune's Rocks, quote, while not the main setting of the book, there is a rather frank and bleak portrayal of the conditions for Franco-American workers and families in a fictional Dover, New Hampshire-type area, end quote. Among the suggestions made by author and Franco-American history expert Julian Olivier were Enctel, Pierre, A Franco-American Bibliography, New England, Bedford, New Hampshire, National Materials Development Center, 1979. Recognized as the most comprehensive bibliography available at the time of its publication, this annotated work remains highly useful, but must be supplemented to include works which have since appeared. Blair, Richard L., The Fathers, A Novel, Boston, Brandon Publishing Company, Incorporated, 1991. The latest in a long tradition of Franco-American novels depicting the life and evolution of the group. Set in Woonsocket, Rhode Island in the 1920s, it is a man's search for his father and for his God, Father, in the context of a social upheaval in which the temporal authority of the spiritual fathers, Church, was contested. Chodos Robert and Eric Hamovich, Quebec and the American Dream, Toronto, Between the Lines, 1991. This excellent book looks at contemporary Quebec with particular regard for its historical relationship with the U.S., seen as highly important in the evolution of the French-language province in Canada. Franco-Americans, descendants of 19th-century economic immigrants in the Northeast, play a significant part in this story, and their own odyssey is explored. Demers, Norman J. Revolution in Quebec, A Past Rejected, A Future in Doubt, An American Reflects on the Dynamic but Divided Society of His Heritage. Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Peter E. Randall Publisher, 1995. Hendrickson, Dyke, Quiet Presence, Portland, Maine, Guy Gannett Publishing Company, 1980. Dramatic first-person accounts the true stories of Franco-Americans in New England. Ledoux, Dennis, editor. Lives in Transition, an anthology of contemporary Franco-American writings. Lisbon Falls, Maine, Soleil Press, 1991. Insights into Franco-American history and culture through the poems and short stories of 12 authors. Parent, Michael and Julian Olivier. Of Kings and Fools, Stories of the French Tradition in North America. Little Rock, Arkansas, August House Publishers, Incorporated, 1996. Stories pertain to Franco-Americans and French-Canadians. Some are folk tales which originated in France and were brought to North America. There are also original stories by the authors. Mary Algren, Hall Memorial Library, Northfield, Tilton, New Hampshire, suggested Papa Martel, A Novel in 10 Parts, by Gerard Robichaud, Doubleday, 1961, as, quote, a great one. We used it for a book discussion a while ago, and it brought back many memories for some in the group, the mills, the church, Catholic schools, big families, and, of course, anything by Ernest Hebert, end quote. Christine Haig at the Ware Public Library suggested Amaskeg by Tamara Haraven, quote, which is a good pictorial and has interesting text, end quote. The Sugaring Off Party by Jonathan London, and illustrated by Gilles Pelletier, is a children's picture book that came to mind for Evelyn Dakota at the Philbert James Library in Deerfield. Cab Vinton at the Sanburnton Public Library suggested Jeffrey Lent's novel Lost Nation, which has a French-Canadian theme. Adele Buford Baker suggested that most of the books available at the Franco-American Center's bookstore would be suitable as an answer to this question. River of Words by Pamela Michael, ROW Executive Director. River of Words, ROW, is a California-based 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our goal is to get kids excited about learning and to connect informed and engaged citizens with business people, government agencies, and learning communities working together toward common, self-defined goals. We've been conducting training workshops for teachers, park naturalists, grassroots groups, state resource agencies, librarians, and others since 1995, helping them to incorporate observation-based nature exploration and the arts into their work with young people. In addition to helping improve children's literacy and cognitive skills like investigation and critical thinking, River of Words' multidisciplinary hands-on approach to education nurtures students' creative voices as well through instruction and practice in art and poetry. The results have been successful beyond our most audacious hopes. Community partnerships in support of education and watersheds, creek cleanups and restorations, student poetry clubs and art exhibitions, oral history projects, school gardens, Girl Scout watershed patches developed in conjunction with US EPA, many more wonderful projects. Perhaps the best way to understand our impact and mission is to visit our website, www.riveroftheword.org, and view some of the poems and artwork created by children around the world. These extraordinary works have been submitted to our free annual environmental poetry and art contest conducted in affiliation with the Library of Congress Center for the Book. The contest theme is Watersheds, a meaningful, scalable way of looking at the whole of nature. We accept poems in English, Spanish, and American Sign Language submitted on videotape. The contest is designed to help youth explore the natural and cultural history of the place they live, and to express through poetry and art what they discover, and is open to any child in the world from 5 to 19 years of age. Older students must have not yet completed high school. There is no charge to enter, and students may enter on their own or as part of a group, classroom, Girl Scout troop, 4-H, etc. Winners are announced each April at a gala event at the San Francisco Library. The grand prize and international winners win an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. to attend the ROW Awards Ceremony at the Library of Congress. Past contest finalists from New Hampshire include Molly Golzer, Durham, Bailey Irving, Northampton, Madeline Bennett, Epping, and from Peterborough, Michelle Donovan, Allegra M. Hyde, Molly C. Brown, and Emily Sharp. The annual deadline for the contest is February 15th for entries from the USA. Completed rules and details are at www.riveroofwords.org/contest/index.html. Through the universal language of art, painting, drawing, and photography, students learn not only about their own home grounds, but in sharing their work with each other, about other bioregions and cultures as well. The watershed art and poetry submitted to River of Words is exhibited around the globe and is seen by millions of people each year. Every painting, every poem contributes to an informed appreciation of the natural world and the interconnectedness of all beings. Keeping French in Manchester. La Librairie Populaire celebrates 30 years, by Brian Early. It was 30 years ago this Saturday that a French bookstore opened in Manchester. And 30 years later, after bookstores have come and gone, La Librairie Populaire still stands on Orange Street. For all that time, Roger Lassert, 72, has owned and operated the store, commuting almost daily from his home in Lowell, Massachusetts, where he started the bookstore out of his home when his friends were looking for books about the Quiet Revolution that was taking place in Quebec, Canada. Quote, "I didn't have any furniture in the house, but I did have a bookcase," end quote, Lassert reminisced recently. Quote, "That's how it all started," end quote. That was back in 1962. Soon his house was filled with books. He picked Manchester as more centrally located than Lowell or Nashua to serve French-speaking New England. Quote, "It was a good spot for marketing," end quote, he said. He first thought that religious books would sell well, but that business wasn't as strong as he hoped, and Lassert instead found business in genealogical books, though in recent years he hasn't sold any more genealogy books. Books, music, greeting cards, and anything in French, Lassert sells. Robert Perrault, a modern language instructor at St. Anselm College, and a local historian, has been a regular customer for years. There are also a few of his books on the shelves, including A History of Manchester in French. His recent book on Manchester postcards is one of the few books in the store in English. The only books in English are ones that deal with Franco-American history in the area. Recently, one of Perrault's cousins from Canada died. Quote, "I wanted to send her husband a French sympathy card," end quote, he said, and La Librairie Populaire was the only place in the area where he could find one. Quote, "I think it's a miracle that this bookstore is still around," end quote. But operating a French bookstore is not all that Lassert does. He's active in the Franco-American community. In Lowell, this past summer, he was named Franco-American of the Year. He's the founder of the social organization Le Club Richelieu in Lowell, and he's president of the Lowell chapter of the Association Canado-Américaine. On Sunday mornings, he can be heard playing French music on WFEA, keeping up the tradition that the late Joe Maltese started in 1992. He also teaches French at Nashua High School South. The retail landscape of Orange Street has changed in the past 30 years since he first arrived. In 1977, there was a cobbler shop, an antiques dealer, and a jewelry store. Now, he's the only retail shop on the street. Quote, "It's a big juggling act trying to survive," end quote, Lassert said. The dropping value of the U.S. dollar has made imports from Canada and France more expensive. Quote, "We just buy what we really need," end quote. Buying what is needed is more difficult for Lassert than for traditional bookstores. Usually book distributors will buy back unpopular books. Because Lassert buys books internationally, his book distributors do not offer buybacks. Quote, "You have to be very careful of what you buy," end quote, he said. And while Franco-American culture has diminished in the area, and it's been years since French was heard on the street corners, Lassert works to keep the heritage alive. Quote, "He's almost like a missionary," end quote, Perrault said about Lassert. This article was originally published on November 29th, 2007, and is reprinted here with permission of the author and Hippo Press. La Librairie Populaire, 18 Orange Street, Manchester. Phone 603-669-3788. New England's Franco-American Writers. Between 1815 and 1930, over a million people left Quebec and moved to the United States, many settling in New England. The Franco-Americans established communities that reflected the faith and the culture they had left behind in Quebec. Storytelling was an important part of French-Canadian life, and many New England writers have Franco-American roots. Learn more about New Hampshire's Franco-American writers in the New Hampshire Authors Database at www.nh.gov/NHSL/books/literary/literary/nh_authors.html. Here are a few examples. Richard L. Blair, Josephat T. Benoit, Gregoire Chabot, Armand B. Chartier, Paul P. Chassé, Robert Cormier, Henri Darrell, Rosaire Dion Levesque, Norman DeBay, Ferdinand Gagnon, Jacqueline Glasson Fuller, Ernest Hebert, Jack Kerouac, Adelard Lambert, Grace Metalius, Julian Olivier, Robert B. Perrault, E. Annie Proulx, Adolphe Robert, Gerard Robichaud, Adrien Verret. The Library of Congress expands France in America. Last July, the Library of Congress completed a major expansion of its bilingual France in America online presentation with the addition of 247 items from its collections. France in America, part of the Library of Congress's Global Gateway website, is a cooperative project of the Library of Congress and the Bibliothèque Nationale de France. The first part of the site, launched in Paris in May 2005, explores the history of the French presence in North America and the interactions between the French and American peoples from the 16th to the early 19th centuries. The recently added content documents the links between France and the United States in the 19th and early 20th centuries in such areas as politics, immigration, scientific exchange, literature, and the arts. These materials include rare books relating to the continuing role of France in the Caribbean, postcards and photographs from France in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and 42 English-language translations of popular French writers from the Seaside Library Folio Collection in the Library's Rare Book and Special Collections Division. Other items added to the site include the correspondence of John Slidell, the Confederacy's commissioner to France, and papers from Mary Church Terrell, a prominent African-American educator and civil rights advocate who traveled in France in 1888 to 1890 and kept a diary in French. A large volume of the new material highlights the importance of contacts in the fields of aviation and motion pictures as part of the interaction between the two countries. Included are selections from the papers of Wilbur and Orville Wright that demonstrate their relations with French flight enthusiasts, selections from the Tissandier collection on the history of aeronautics relating to the activities of the French aviation pioneers Gaston, Albert, and Paul Tissandier, and 28 early silent films produced by the pioneering French motion picture houses of Gaumont, Pathé Frères, and the Société Lumière at the end of the 19th century and the first decades of the 20th century. Introduced by historical narratives and annotations that are provided in both English and French, the collections in France and America are a valuable resource for teachers and students of American and French history, international relations, and the French language. http://international.loc.gov/intldl/ fiahtml/. Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, Mary A. Russell, Director, 603-271-2866. Mary.Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, at dcr.nh.gov. 2008 Advisory Board, Chair Andrea Thorpe, New Hampshire Library Association. Vice Chair Becky Albert, New Hampshire Educational Media Association. Van McLeod, New Hampshire Department of Cultural Resources. Dr. Lionel B. Tracy, New Hampshire Department of Education. Michael York, New Hampshire State Library. Kathy Wirtz, New Hampshire Writers Project. Patricia Farnoli, Poet Laureate of New Hampshire. Rick Agron, New Hampshire Humanities Council. Kerry Thomas, Colby Sawyer College. Maureen Graham, Chillis. Sally Jones, New Hampshire Library Trustees Association. Pat Frizella, Poetry Society of New Hampshire. Eleanor Strang, Urban Public Library Consortium. Willard Williams, Toadstool Bookshops. Katie McDonough, Founding Director. Narrator's note on the back page, the newsletter has this statement. The mission of the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library is to celebrate and promote reading, books, literacy, and the literary heritage of New Hampshire, and to highlight the role that reading and libraries play in enriching the lives of the people of the Granite State. And inside, we have a Support the Center for the Book at the NHSL section. Annual membership levels are supporter, $5 to $24, friend, $25 to $99, contributor, $100 to $499, patron, $500 to $999, benefactor, $1,000 and up. Members receive book notes, the semi-annual newsletter, and checks should be made out to Park Street Foundation. Note whether you're a personal member or organization member. The Park Street Foundation serves as the fiscal agent of the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library and is a tax-exempt 501c3 organization. Your contribution is tax-deductible to the extent allowed by law. And the address, Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, 20 Park Street, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301. End narrator's note. End book notes. Narrated by David Harris for the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, August 2008.